Hello, beloveds, and welcome to Christian Emotional Recovery, a podcast for those who are survivors of childhood trauma, emotional neglect, and narcissistic abuse. This podcast is hosted by Rachel Leroy, a college professor and trauma survivor. Many of us spend years trying to heal and don't get anywhere. We don't always target the trauma itself, which is so often what keeps us stuck. This podcast is where faith meets science. Rachel is an emotional healing expert with 20 years of experience applying healing modalities that helped her start making progress after nothing else worked. She'll show you how to do the same. Each week, we'll cover a topic that will show you how to heal trauma for good. Please check out our website and show notes at ChristianEmotionalRecovery.com and join the Facebook community, Trauma Survivors Unite, Christian Emotional Recovery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 15 of Christian Emotional Recovery. I'm your host, Rachel Leroy, and this is the first episode that we've done where I'm interviewing another person, and so it's the first time that I've done this, and so there were some technical issues. I am, by the way, interviewing Megan Owen Cox, so this is an interview with Megan Owen Cox. She is the owner of Mountain City Christian Counseling, and she is a wonderful and dear human being, and she runs a program called Source. It's a Christian-based course for trauma survivors, and we'll be talking about that today, and she'll be sharing her story of survival of abuse as well. And so I do want to let you know that this particular episode, the quality will not be as good because we had a lot of technical problems, but we said, not today, Satan, so we kept on at it, and it took several tries to get it to work, but unfortunately the sound, there's a clicking sound in the background, and I tried everything I could to clean it up and edit it out, and I just couldn't find a way to do it. So bear with me with the sound quality of this. Like I said, this is the first one. So as I learn to do more interviews, hopefully this will go more smoothly. Plus, everything that could have gone wrong on that one did go wrong. So I'm sure it'll get better in the future. Okay. So the ending does cut off because something happened with the recording when we were doing it. So it may sound like it's cut off at the end, but we did get most of the interview. So bear with the process at the end when it just cuts off as well. Okay. Thank you so much. And remember to check out the YouTube channel. You can see it in the show notes. Check out the Patreon account where you can donate monthly if you'd like to support the podcast, or ko-fi.com, which is also linked in the show notes if you want to donate one time. And check out the Facebook page, Christian Emotional Recovery. All those links are in the show notes as well. And I am going to be trying to work on getting a newsletter started. I've been looking for jobs, better paying jobs, so that I can continue to do this because I've had increasing workload and I'm not getting paid anymore. And I'm also going to be paying student loans again. So I'm trying to find a way to make this easier. And right now it's harder because I've been doing job searches and that takes several hours a week as well. So thank you for following me on this journey. Thank you for your support. Thank you so much for everything that you do that encourages me every day. I'm grateful. So let's listen to the speech, the talk with Megan Owen Cox, and go ahead and listen, and I'll see you soon.
I'm so glad to be here, Rachel. I'm so glad to be here.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this podcast interview. I want my listeners to get different perspectives on the healing journey.
Yes.
And on basically how to overcome trauma, and that trauma is in the body. And if people have not been able to heal in the past, it's not their fault. And I wanted to speak with you because I know you're an expert on the healing process and on the somatic healing process as well of healing in the body. Megan Owen Cox is here with us today, and I wanted to give you a little bit about her bio so you can
understand her experience and where she's coming from in terms of having done this healing work herself and then becoming an expert in this area of healing and overcoming abuse and becoming a spiritual warrior, so to speak, in, you know, doing this whole healing journey thing, because it's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure. But she is a fully certified pastoral counselor since 2012, and Megan has been successfully companioning clients all over the country while facilitating their self-growth. She offers crisis and spiritual processes groups and individual Christian therapy specializing in abuse, trauma, and dissociative disorders, utilizing therapeutic models such as DNMS, which is Developmental Needs Meeting Strategy, Internal Family Systems, IFS. I've talked about that on our podcast, IFS, and Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing Therapy, EMDR. Those are a mouthful, but those are all very effective somatic practices that Megan and her colleagues do in their center, which is Mountain City Christian Counseling. And her bio also says she is certified in bereavement therapy, which is like losing someone or the loss or grief over some kind of loss, crisis response with the AACC, and trauma therapies and suicidology in CAMS. She is also a chaplain certified with the ACPE. What is the AACC?
CPE. Okay. So it is Clinical Pastoral Education. ACPE is American Clinical Pastoral Education. There we go.
Okay. All right. And then Megan is also, she's written curriculum for domestic violence, nonprofit advocacy programs, spiritual processing groups, and identity-based therapeutic courses. So she has also been featured in many podcasts and conferences, and I've actually looked at a lot of them, and they're really good. So if you want to check out some more of her work, it's well worth your time. But she's also done Courage 365 with Ashley Easter, and she resides in Denver, Colorado with her four adored and adoring children. And she loves her job and will walk through the fire to help a client find healing. Megan is the real deal. I've already been interviewed by her, so I can tell you that she cares about her clients, and she is one of the most compassionate people I've met online, so to speak. And you can find her drinking hot coffee and breathing in the fresh mountain air every chance she gets. Well, I'm just jealous because I would love to be in Colorado, where you're in hot Georgia. And lastly, I wanted to tell you about her new program that she has, a course called SOURCE. That's an acronym. And it's for CPTSD and abuse survivors, and it's Christian-based. And there are different teachers in it, some of whom you may have heard of, but the course is designed to bring you home to yourself. And if you want more information, go check it out at mountaincitychristiancounseling.com/courses, mountaincitychristiancounseling.com/courses. And Megan, I guess since we're talking about the course, can you tell us a little bit about this course, what it does, what it entails, how it might help listeners to heal themselves? It is an affordable course. It's not super expensive like some of the same ones you might find other places. It's more affordable. But can you tell us a little bit about it?
Gosh, yes. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. Yeah, again, I'm just really glad to be here. I just love you to pieces, Rachel, and it's just an honor. So yes, I'm most excited right now about SOURCE, and it is an acronym, as you mentioned. The acronym is Sacred Self, Origin, Understanding, Reconnect, Centered, and Engaged. So it's three modules based on the order that I just read. So module one is Sacred Self. Module two is Origin and Understanding, and module three is Reconnect, Centered, and Engaged. Now, we've already started our fall cohort, and we have a little place where you can sign up for a waiting list for the winter cohort, which will be starting January 8th, 2024.
Great.
Super excited about this because we have amazing contributors. All of this is geared toward healing the connections within ourselves that have been broken down because of complex trauma. But we have people like Patrick Doyle, L. Renee Arders, Sarah McDougall, Jane Clapp, Sam Powell, Joseph Pote. We have Luke and Lauren Smallcomb. We have, oh my gosh, we have so many more. Natalie Hoffman. I know I'm missing a whole bunch of people, but here it is. Natalie Hoffman, Dr. Andrew Bowman, Helena Knowlton, Heather Elizabeth, Sue Mocker, Victoria Petro, Sarah Cox, and Karen DeArmond-Gardner. So great lineup, super great lineup.
Yeah, that's an impressive list of names, and I actually follow some of them on Facebook. And if you're in trauma recovery with a Christian influence, that's definitely, within the Christian community, that's definitely a great lineup there. So check out the course if you haven't.
Thank you. So I really put a lot of thought into the way that it's organized, obviously with the acronym and all of that. But what we're trying to do is heal the broken parts of ourselves and make connections to ourselves. That's why it's called Source, because we're connecting to our soul. And as Christians, we believe that our soul was breathed into us by God. It's indestructible because it's going on from this life. And that part of us dances with the Holy Spirit, who also lives inside of us. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, in a lot of the more fundamental evangelical churches and cults and so many religious structures, we are turned away from ourselves and we get to where we don't even know who we are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the Barbie movie just came out, and I've been using the Barbie box as an analogy for a couple of months now. But it's that sort of thing where, we give our lives to Christ and everybody's really excited and we go to church, and then we're told, okay, now you need to look like us and act like us and be like us, and then you'll be holy. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of a particular type of death. I don't think our soul dies, but I think our soul can be laying on the floor, writhing. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of what causes complex trauma or CPTSD. Mm-hmm. It are those kind of wounds and the separation from ourselves that might express itself in how we are looking for external validation. If we need a lot of external validation, we might have CPTSD. If we feel like we are wrong somehow, and I don't mean wrong about things, but actually wrong as though other people have a blueprint for life, but we don't, we might have CPTSD. Or maybe it's that feeling where you go into an emotional flashback and you feel like a child again. You have been made to be a little child or a little woman, not allowed to grow up into maturity, sort of still drinking milk. And so these are all three or four of the many, many symptoms of complex trauma. You can find a comprehensive list in Pete Walker's book, Complex Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. It's a really good book. And there's no sort of known cure for CPTSD, as you know, It is a big combination of many different modalities, one of them being to connect to our core spiritual self, another to connect to our bodies and to heal the trauma that our bodies present. So you've probably talked to your listeners, Rachel, about implicit memories. And those are the memories that our bodies hold and actually cause symptoms. And so that comes up in one of the modules in with Jane Clapp, who's a Jungian analyst, just a very spiritual woman.
Interesting.
And that one comes in, I think, in module 3, where we're reconnecting. So some of the titles of the video course consist of the following: the betrayed self with L. Renee Arders, the true and beloved self with Sarah McDougall, inner child connection with Jane Clapp, origin stories with me, Megan Owen Cox, Shalom with theologian Sam Powell, And so on. And then learning to love ourselves, learning to companion ourselves, self-compassion, connection to body. Mm-hmm. That brings so much healing, along with the other modalities such as EMDR that you've already mentioned. But it's a consistent, underlying, invisible conversation to teach us to trust ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's something that often we're taught we're not supposed to do as Christians. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even the Bible talks about loving our neighbor as ourselves. And while, you know, of course, loving God is the number one commandment and loving other people, you know, we can't make that healing journey without that connection. If it's severed, how can we make those other connections? And so I'm seeing what you're describing here is helping people to make that connection so they can do those other things as well. That's mm-hmm. all part of the healing process. It's sort of holistic. It's all of it.
Yes. Yes, I love that you said the word holistic. Exactly. And it really is based on my theological understanding of what God wants for us, which is shalom. And the way that I break that down is wholeness with God, wholeness with ourselves, and wholeness with other people. So it's a beautiful living water type flow of connection mm-hmm. with God in ourselves and others. And as you know, Rachel, we cannot love others if we don't love ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God is the best parent out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go ahead.
If we have severed relationships with our parents, where some of these, some of the CPTSD can come from, you know, this isn't about blame. Sometimes parents did the best they could. That still happens because of all kinds of complicated reasons. But, you know, that parental relationship, getting that back with God, helps us to sort of heal that mother wound and that father wound too at the same mm-hmm. time.
So. Oh my goodness. Yes. I love what you just said, Rachel. I love that. It's so true. You know, there are great parents out there who just miss the mark. And if you're a parent like I am, I routinely miss the mark with my kids. I try really hard, but sometimes parents are going through their own tough stuff or crises, or maybe they just don't know how to attune to their children. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
No, we're definitely all human. And, you know, there are definitely people who are not, shall we say, not of the better variety. But I think that the average person is doing the best they can. And, you know, that's not to make excuses for the fact that a lot of people do have trauma and that that leaves a mark and that that can cause harm. You know, that's not to invalidate that experience. But I think it's kind of both and that a lot of parents are doing the best they can and they make mistakes. And sometimes maybe they're just going through their own trauma and they've not resolved that. And so that becomes generational trauma in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if you're listening to this and if you are anything like Rachel, you're probably a cycle breaker. You're probably one of those people who has said, like I did, it ends with me. I'm going to turn around and give my children what I did not get. Mm-hmm. And they will be better off. I will fight the giants, as many as I can, so they don't have to fight as many.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for people that have children, they're able to pass on something to them that's more attuned and healthier. And for those that don't have children, they may pass it on in other ways in the spiritual community or with other people or just breaking that cycle for themselves. So it's definitely mm-hmm. a process worth going through. And so I definitely encourage you to take Megan's course and take other courses like that that can help you on the healing journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Megan, can you tell us a little bit about your survival story and healing journey and how this got you into pastoral counseling as much as you feel comfortable sharing?
Oh yeah. I'm pretty open. My story's been out there for a good 12 or 13 years. And so mm-hmm. it's all pretty public, but I ended up getting my master's in pastoral counseling when I was in my 20s, which I'm 49, almost 50 now. But I was offered a full scholarship, which now I understand was very much God's handiwork there. It wasn't anything that I expected, but I went ahead and did it. In the meantime, my husband was in seminary doing his degree. I think I had three children. I think I had four children in 6 years. So I managed to squeeze a 2-year program into 6 years, but I did it.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's all a blur, but I don't really, I didn't believe, I didn't think that I could use my degree because I was in a very abusive situation with my husband. Mm-hmm. It was sort of he was a Mennonite Russian Baptist German national and came from a very, very cult-like situation from his family. And and I had just lost my parents in a car accident when I met him.
I'm so sorry.
I know. I was very, very vulnerable. I looked at his family and thought, oh my gosh, I could have a family. They'll love me, you know. But I was never good enough. I was too American. I was criticized for not doing more. I was criticized for wearing makeup. I was criticized for wanting to buy a new dress. You know, it just a constant stream. I was so downtrodden. Mm-hmm. The marriage was abusive in every way, mental, emotional, physical, sexual, and spiritual, mm-hmm. especially spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just sort of a dramatic exit where in 2011, a couple of my kids seemed to be, you know, in my mind, they were now getting old enough to receive abuse from him. He seemed to be turning a lot of that toward them as well. Mm-hmm. And a beautiful neighbor who spoke English, we left Germany. We were in Germany. She noticed bruises on our arms because he would grab our arms, drag us around by our arms, that sort of thing. Just manhandle the kids. And that was the first time I really, really opened up. I had tried to leave 3 years before. And when I went back, because I had a newborn, it got worse. And I had even less resources. And then we moved overseas. And then I was really out of luck because I was there with his family and I didn't speak the language. But this family who spoke English flew my kids and me just a couple days later back to the States. And I told him that we were going to visit my grandmother and that we'd be back in 2 weeks. And we left and we never went back. Mm. And so it was a very dramatic exit. And it was very difficult and painful because I did not have support when I landed. I felt as though he had talked to everybody in my family, told them I was crazy, spoke to my home church. I felt like I was being harassed. I was suffering from post-separation abuse. Mm. And everyone was pushing me to go back. And I almost did. I almost did. But there were some cracked doors that I dragged my children through and went through myself and just kept on trying and working. It was the bravest thing I ever did in my life.
Yeah.
And so I had to start all over with my kids and we did. And, there was a time where I was, just weeping, sobbing before God on the kitchen floor and begging him to help me. And I was angry. I mean, I was banging the carpet with my fist. My kids were all in bed asleep and we were in a 700 square foot home. Mm-hmm. And I was working so hard and my nervous system was continually activated at a 10 or 11 every day and couldn't sleep and all of this. And I was so scared, Rachel, and I was young.
Yeah.
And the kids were little. And I said, God, I have done everything that I thought you asked me to do. And look at my life. Look at where I am now. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't know what I was asking God. And I don't have a lot of times in my life where I could hear his voice just audibly, spirit to spirit. But he said, I want you to obey me. And I got even more angry. And I said, well, what in the world does that mean? I am obeying you. And he said, I want you to love God. I want you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And having come from a very legalistic background, that was brand new to me somehow. And I went to bed and I slept for the first time. And then the next morning I got up, I had an email from my friend Brandy, who was trying to raise money for the Indian Rescue Mission. She asked if I would take part in fundraising. And I remember exactly what I thought. I thought, I can't do anything for anybody. I can't give any money. I can't give to anybody, but I can give other people's money to people who need it. Mm-hmm. And that was my first fundraiser. And I raised $500 for the Indian Rescue Mission. And James, the one who runs this mission, wrote me back and he said, "You are giving women a voice."
Wow. That's powerful.
And it was so powerful. And I thought, I don't even have a voice. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it feels like to have a voice, because I was supposed to be quiet and submissive. And I'd really taken that mantle on of this very holy woman. Mm-hmm. And so I started writing. I continued to grow. I would not give up my relationship to God, even though my ex-husband was telling people I was going to hell and that I'm a heretic. Mm. And I kept on going. And then I started a nonprofit for single mothers who were leaving abuse and who had been pariahs in their church and in their families. Mm. And I did that for 7 years. And then it was time to start Mountain City Christian Counseling, which I started about 2.5 years ago. And so much has come out of that. And so I've continued to do my healing work. As you know, we keep on going. It's never over, you know. But I don't even know who that girl was. I don't even know who that girl was who couldn't speak or look anybody in the eye, or who felt shame for wanting to get away from abuse.
It's like another lifetime ago. It sounds like the healing process has just changed so much. It's like you're you, but you're a new you in the scene.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, which that's what we're supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to empty ourselves so that we can become the best version of ourselves that God wants us to be.
Mm-hmm. And become a new creation. And to me, that mm-hmm. is about being healed and empowered, and all of that comes from, you know, all the healing comes from God, but we do have to do the healing work, you know.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure.
No.
But your story, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, it's can be pure hell. It's awful. You're in a dark, dark place when you're trying to heal. But it's so worth it. It's so worth it.
It is. And your story is so inspiring. The fact that you came from another country with 4 kids alone, and you left all your possessions, and you didn't even have a soft place to land when you came back. I mean, that was... Mm-hmm. That's amazing that you made it through that time. And I hear so many stories like that of people mm-hmm. just taking their kids and they're like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trusting God. And it's like blank. The future is just blank and you don't know what's in it. And it's just scary, the uncertainty, but you keep moving forward. And one day you find yourself in a place where, because of all the healing work you've done, because you trusted God, you're in a better place, and it's almost surreal, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, you describe it so perfectly. Yeah, it's blank. Mm-hmm. Your future is blank. And the hypervigilance that I sustained, the overprotectiveness I had of my children, really just shook my body literally shook for weeks mm-hmm. after landing. And I just couldn't believe how far his reach was in my life and with my own siblings and all of that. So you said something that made me think about, women leaving, you know, and whether you have kids or not. I do want to say, when I say cycle breaker, I mean for every person's who comes after you, mm-hmm. all the generations, even if you don't have children, you have an influence on the next generations. Mm-hmm. So whether you're married and you've left an abusive marriage as a single person or with kids, both and all of that is absolutely terrifying. And you don't do that unless it's that bad. Mm-hmm. You don't leave like that with 4 kids or a dramatic exit unless you are dying on the inside, mm. or you think you might be in danger of dying. Those are my heroes. That's why I love to serve them.
Mm-hmm. And you've had an organization or something that, an organization that helps women who are in situations and they need to find safety.
Well, yes, I did. I'm not the executive director anymore, but that's the nonprofit that I founded. Mm-hmm. And when I was running it, we helped single mothers who were escaping. I don't think they do that anymore. I think now they do things like provide food pantries and school supplies, but it's called Give Her Wings, and it's a nonprofit.
Yeah, and it does such important work. It's mm-hmm. does such important work, especially within the Christian community, because so many churches teach people, men and women alike, that if they're in a marriage that is just downright destructive, downright debilitatingly abusive, that they're supposed to stay in the marriage, no matter right. what. And that's just.
It's not true. That's not who God is. God says, let me just say it this way. Jesus died for you as an individual, mm-hmm. not for your marriage. And if you are dying in your marriage, Jesus wants you to get out. Divorce can be life-saving.
Yes, it can. It can. Now, I mean, you know, that's different than maybe people that need to work out some differences and there's not like any abuse going on, but maybe it's just there's some tension there and maybe things can be worked out. But we're talking about situations where the person is suffering from severe neglect and severe emotional abuse and physical abuse, and their safety and their well-being are at stake. That's a situation mm-hmm. where they need to get out, and they need to, you know, the person's well-being should be more important than,
than an institution.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So there are people who have a difficult marriage or just difficult circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe that if you love each other, you can work those things out, you know. Mm-hmm. Abusive people or narcissistic people don't know how to love. Mm-hmm. There's no way to work it out because you are living with the enemy.
Mm-hmm. And they can't change. People that I'm not saying problematic and toxic people can't change. They do. And God does change them. But people that have truly high narcissistic traits and or fully toxic and or fully abusive and narcissistic type people, they can't change. You can pray for them all day long. The only person that's going to change them is God. But you could sit there for 50 years and it will still be the same or maybe worse. In the mm-hmm. dream cases, it rarely changes. And that's, you know, a hard reality. But acceptance of that and then finding a way to create a new life can be life-changing for those people. So
That's right. And I think also it's a call to stewardship in a way. I remember my friend Adam was talking to me after I had left one of the few lone wolves in my life who were sort of helping me to see that I needed to protect myself and my children first and foremost. But I kept saying, well, but I pray for him. Can't he change? And if I'm quieter and gentler and more lovely, won't he want, as though I have that kind of power, you know, like as though I can somehow draw him to God and make him not a narcissist. And I remember Adam said, if he even admits that he's a narcissist, which is never going to happen, he would need a good 10 years of therapy to overcome this. And then where would your kids be?
Yeah.
And I thought they would have suffered for the next 10 years. And so how am I going to use my time on this earth?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To wait for a man to change, or am I going to raise my children in love apart from that and do my best to serve other people unhindered by his abuse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're also showing your kids, you know, what if they got in a situation like that when they were older? You would want them to make the decision that you did, and that is to be safe and to
exactly
look after themselves if that's what they have to do. And, you know, nobody wants to send the message, you stay no matter what. You know, that's no, there's a lot of people that will endure things they would never ask their kids to endure. And I'm sure you would say the same thing. So
absolutely,
you're setting that example for them that their value, that they are valuable and that they deserve to be treated with consideration and respect and kindness, as we're all commanded to do, to treat each other. So
exactly, Rachel. And you know, that brings us back beautifully to the parent, the ultimate parent, God being the ultimate mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate parent does not want us to die in an abusive marriage. That is not, I can't imagine that for my, like, I can't imagine saying to my children, well, you're just going to have to stay and suffer.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. God is not that way. God loves us as individuals.
Yes. And while he never promised us that we would be happy every moment of our lives and that there would be mm-hmm. challenges for sure, I do believe that he wants us to be safe. And if we're commanded, one thing I've always thought about is if we're commanded to love all, what is it, 8 or 9 billion people? So it's theoretical, but you know, if we're commanded to love all those people, then 8 or 9 billion people are also commanded to love us. And to me, that, you know, it just doesn't add up to the spirit of who Christ is to stay in
right.
a situation where you're degraded and you're treated like garbage, because that's not how God wanted anybody to be treated, you know?
Right. I mean, there are some situations we genuinely cannot get out of, like, you know, in the epistles, Paul was speaking to slaves. They could not unslave themselves. Mm-hmm. So when you're in that situation, there is a level of acceptance. Okay, how can I love God, love my neighbor as myself in this situation? Mm-hmm. But when there's a provision for us to leave,
yeah,
that's different. We accept that as a gift
mm-hmm.
and leave.
Mm-hmm. And God calls some people to be that provision in the, you know, during the 150 years ago in American history, there were people that helped mm-hmm. free slaves. So there were, in some cases, provisions given to help free those people. And I think that God also gives people, some people, a gift to teach and to enable and to give resources mm-hmm. to people that need to get out of those extreme situations too, that provision that you're talking about.
Definitely. Exactly. Definitely. Oh my goodness. It has been pure joy. Thank you for facilitating an opportunity for me to talk about my story. I almost never talk about it anymore because I'm always the one who's interviewing.
Oh, really? I love hearing about people's stories and their stories of overcoming mm-hmm. because if people like my listeners are in situations like this, you don't even have to be in an abusive marriage. You might just be in a difficult situation. Just know mm-hmm. that God can deliver you and he can heal you and he can comfort you in situations where you have to endure certain things for a season. So just note that there's hope. And that's one reason I like to hear your story and other people's stories.
So that was a discussion with Megan Owen Cox. She discussed the program that she has. If you're interested, you might go check out her website. I'll put it in the show notes. I also will put her bio in the show notes so you can learn more about Megan and what she does. And also, you know, in telling her story, I hope that it encouraged you and blessed you. She's one of the best people that I know, and she's overcome so much. She is such a strong person, and I really respect her. Such a great woman of God. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. This has been Christian Emotional Recovery, Season 3, Episode 15, and this was an interview with Megan Owen Cox. Remember, beloveds, God loves you and you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Christian Emotional Recovery, hosted by Rachel LeRoy. For links to this week's resources and to join the discussion, check out this episode's show notes at ChristianEmotionalRecovery.com, where you can also find links to our YouTube channel and Facebook group. Join our email list and get other episodes and resources. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate and review the podcast and tell a friend who may benefit from this message. See you next time. And remember, beloveds, God loves you, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made.